Go. Hi, this is Connie Smith with OSU Extension of Fairfield County. Well, it's always a pleasure for me to learn something new on the farm page. Learning something new means I'm bringing alpacas, Terra Agriculture, Aubrey Fowler Shaw with me. All right. Snow's on the ground. It's cold. I need an alpaca headband. Tell me how that happens. Yeah. So tell me a little bit about this winter gear. I saw you unpacking a box on social media. Tell me about alpaca gear.
Yeah, so like you mentioned, we're Terra Agriculture. We're a small farm outside of Thornville. We raise alpacas, and then during the nicer weather, we have a hay operation. And so the alpacas have naturally warm fiber. It's like the second warmest, I think. We always say it's right after the polar bear.
Yeah.
And it naturally occurs that way. And so then we shear our alpacas once a year, and we have those, we have that fiber made into different products. Our favorite thing is yarn, but most people don't know how to work with that anymore, unfortunately. So now we've worked with a couple of mills to have things made into winter gear. So all different types of things that people might need to stay warm this winter.
Okay, tell us about the winter gear. What are we talking about? Headbands? Tell us what you have.
Yeah, so right now we have a little bit of everything. So we have headbands, hats. I make scarves, so I knit them by hand. We have gloves, socks, which is a big seller. Socks are really nice because we can wear them throughout the year. We have two different thicknesses. And so socks is a big one. And then we have boot inserts. So if you're an outdoors person, whether you're hiking, fishing, hunting, we have inserts that you can put inside your shoes to keep warm and add comfort throughout the year.
Wow. So I have to understand this. When we talk about these winter wearables, they truly come from is it 25 alpacas you have now on the farm?
Yeah, when we're all together, we have 24 of us.
24 alpacas. So you shear them, you send the wool away to be, I'm sure, cleaned and spun to be made into these products, correct?
Correct. Yep, that's the process.
And so if they follow Terra Agriculture on Facebook, they will see the multitude of colors of alpaca you have.
Yes. So one of the things that we have really tried to focus on as part of our fiber operation is education. Mm-hmm. So there's 22, I think, registered colors of alpacas in the United States. And so most of our products, when they come back, they are in their natural color. Same with our yarn. We have 9 different options of yarn. And we always tell people those are the true color. So whatever whatever animal, so like Noella is a very popular one, she is gray. So whatever, however much fiber Noella grows in a year, we shear that once a year, send it off, and then it's made and sent back to us, and it's still the same gray that she created.
Wow.
Yeah.
So when do you shear these alpaca to be able to get these winter wear products to a market?
Yeah, so in Ohio, we need to shear and have all their fiber off of them before it gets too hot and humid. Alpacas are originally from Peru and the Andes Mountains, so they can handle the cold, they can handle the rain, they prefer that. They have a really hard time with the humidity that we have in Ohio, and so most farms have their shearing done by May. Okay. We work with a couple of our friends, so we do all our shearing ourselves, so we kind of put together a shearing crew and make a whole day out of it, and so it kind of depends on who's available and when we can make it happen. For us, we normally shear around Easter weekend, because a lot of our people are home, so normally early April is when we shear.
Okay, and is it, what's it like, Aubrey, to shear an alpaca?
It is very interesting. Connie, we were really hopeful. So we originally started at Harrison Farm when we were able to buy back part of the herd. And so Catherine Harrison is very generous in helping young farmers get started because land and capital and buildings is hard to acquire.
Sure.
So when we were able to move to our home site where we all are now, we were really excited. 2020 was going to be our year to start tourism and have people come out and do shearing day with us. And then COVID happened, so we couldn't do that. So we just did our bare bones crew in order to keep everybody safe, and then we did videos that we could share and teach later. And so, I forget where I was going with this, Connie.
Well, I just want to know, like, when you shear them, you know, and I saw pictures of like the on your Facebook of the shearing crew and all that. So is there, like with a cow, you know, when we shear a cow, we put them in a metal chute to kind of control them a little bit so they don't swing around, because those clippers are pretty sharp when you think about getting the wool or the hair off. How do you do that with an alpaca? Do you put a halter on them? Do you tie them up? Do you put them in a chute? How does that work?
Yeah, great question. Thank you. So we actually use a method that came from overseas. A lot of the sheep industry is kind of starting to do this and doing training. They call it the Australian method, but we as alpaca farmers have always done it. So we get our animals on a halter to walk them out of their stall. So that's something that goes over their nose so that we can help them. We can move them around the barn. And then we actually tie them and lay them flat on the ground in order to keep them mm-hmm. safe and us safe. Like you said, with the shearers, they can easily take off a finger or two or cut the animal.
Right.
So we don't want them to be standing or be able to get nervous. Alpacas are naturally prey animals, so flight is their normal reaction.
Right. Sure.
So we lay them down and we kind of just lay them out. We tie their front feet to one post and then their back feet to another and kind of stretch them out so they just lay down to protect them.
Mm-hmm.
And then we shear one side and we get everything off that we want. We flip them over, shear the other. And make sure everything that we want off is off. And then we unclip them. They stand up and head back to their stall.
Okay. So then, like, say, Noella has been sheared.
Uh-huh.
And then do you just put all that in a bag and you say, this is Noella's wool, and you ship it off to the mill just like that?
Yeah, so that's a great question. So actually, when we shear alpacas, we do it based on the quality of the fiber. So we do we shear it in different numbers. So we call them first, seconds, or thirds.
Okay.
And depending on where you cut from the animal is what we keep and how we sort it. So we set each animal. So Noella would have three bags. She'll have her primary. So that's her belly and her back. We call that her blanket or her first.
Okay.
And that's the best. That's going to be the longest, the softest. It doesn't have as much dirt and other things we have to worry about cleaning. Mm-hmm. So that's what the biggest thing that we want to keep and save. We have seconds, which is more of the neck. And it's more shorter pieces and
okay.
not always as nice. And then thirds is kind of anything that's too short to use. Things that they might not be as long. So like their legs, things that have been that are kind of more exposed to the elements end up being thirds and they get put in a separate bag. And then depending on what we want made is what we send off. So our blankets are first, we have made into yarn. We have it made into those softer things that are going to be directly on your body.
Mm-hmm.
So socks, gloves, things like that. And then seconds and thirds, they can mix with, so seconds, they can mix a little bit more with first and they can use for socks and things like that because they aren't quite as bad or as rough.
Mm-hmm.
And then thirds are things that we use for like rugs. We have some tote bags that have been made out of thirds.
Okay.
Or this year I used it as mulch in our garden. So you just find different ways to use it.
Okay, perfect. That really explains a lot because the blanket is really important. So basically there's no part of that alpaca that doesn't get sheared.
Correct.
Yeah. What about that fuzzy little top knot on the head? Does that
yep.
come off?
Yes, it does. So it depends on the shearer's comfort. So my husband Aaron has learned over the years. And so it kind of depends on, one, I guess kind of how rough it looks if you want to shear their
okay.
top knot, or also kind of how they do personality-wise, because it is kind of noisy to do it,
yeah.
to run the clippers there. So we kind of do the a basic trim of that and get off as much as we can, but we don't ever want to scare them or make it a terrible experience. So sometimes we just wait and we use hand trimmers, or we end up waiting and closer to if they have an event or something and clean it up with scissors.
Okay. So tell me this. So you do that in April.
Mm-hmm.
We're into December. It's been in the 30s. We know it's going to drop into the 20s and the zeros. Like this winter, what do you do? Do they grow that fur back or that wool back in time to be warm in our cold Ohio climate? Or do you have a blanket you put on them? How do you keep them warm while some of this wool is growing back?
Yeah, so it kind of depends on who it is and what time of the year. So when we shear in April, for the most part, they are fine. It takes them a whole year to kind of grow back that length that we want. So this year we sheared in April, and then of course it being Ohio, it dropped temperatures drastically. And so some animals, some of our older girls or those that we don't want them to spend so much time generating body heat, will put blankets or we modify sweatshirts to put on them in order to add some of that heat, because it's just like us. Like, we'd rather not be sitting around shivering. It's easier to throw a blanket on and be able to, you know, save those calories and do something mm-hmm. else with them. Mm-hmm. So that starts in April. And then by October, we work with 4-H members and they take their animals to the fair, and they're pretty much grown out by then.
Okay.
Everything kind of looks normal. Sometimes their top knots look a little silly, so we kind of trim it up and help them look a little bit nicer for show. But most of that's already grown back. They don't have a problem with the cold by October, November. If we have some that are smaller, it's just a fact of life, kind of like with people. As they get older, they aren't able to grow as much fiber, or they aren't able to produce as much fat, or, you know, have enough weight on them. So we keep blankets around to put on them if they need it.
Okay. So now you've really got me intrigued. How do you modify a sweatshirt for an alpaca?
Yeah. So we actually learned this from another farm somewhere in the United States. Alpaca farmers connect over Facebook, and so we have some Facebook groups where we all hang out and share ideas. And just like horses or some show animals, there are blankets that are kind of made specifically for alpacas, just like mm-hmm. horses have it, cattle, you know, goats and sheep, but they are expensive. I mean, when you have 24 animals, paying $60 that's on a low end
yeah.
for a jacket is just, it's a big cost. So we go to Goodwill and we, any of those zip-up hoodies that people donate,
yeah.
If they ever have like a dollar day or discount days, we go in and buy the biggest size that we can find of the zip-up hoodies, and you cut off the sleeves. And if they have a hood on it, you cut off the hood. If they don't have a hood, it's even better. You get to save a step. And then you just put their front legs through the arm sleeves, just like we would.
Yeah.
And then we just zip it up their back.
You know what? I hope our listeners follow Terra Agriculture, and I really hope on Facebook or social media, and I hope there's a video of either you or Aaron preparing these alpacas, because I think this would be a really cool, I mean, what a great tool. I mean, and then you're really not, you know what I mean? You're not wasting anything. You know, these
Correct.
Were old sweatshirts that were donated anyway. Tell me this, Aubrey, how can folks find these winter wear products? And you know, we've talked to Catherine Harrison on the farm page this week. So we wanted to kind of unite these interviews and bring you all together. Help us learn where to find these winter wearables from Terra Agriculture.
Yeah, so Terra Agriculture is on Facebook. We are under our name, Terra Agriculture. We're also on Instagram under the same name. If any of our farm page fans are on social media, we have a website, so terraagriculture.com.
Mm-hmm.
All of our items that we have available, you can purchase on there. Social media, Facebook, we mainly share things that are for sale, but we post a lot more pictures. So I don't know that we have videos of us putting together jackets, but we definitely have pictures of them sporting their jackets. And then we are very fortunate to be a part of the Harrison Farm Open Farm Sundays. So the rest of the Sundays through Christmas from 1 to 4, we will be at Harrison Farm over there in Groveport. So we'll
Perfect.
Have all of our items. People can come see them. On our website, we have the option that you can have it shipped to you or a pickup. So if Groveport is closer to anyone, we can drop items off there and you can do contact free. You don't have to interact with people, or you can come to our farm and see the animals or pick up items off the porch. All that you can find on our website.
Perfect. Aubrey Fowler Schultz, great to have you on the farm page. It's great for our listeners to learn about your alpacas, but I think it's even really more important in this year, in this crazy year of 2020, we're learning a lot more about shopping small, shopping a little simpler, and shopping easier, and supporting small business like yourself, you know. And it's great to shop, you know, the Amazon shop, the big box stores. We're not saying you shouldn't do that, But we're hoping on the 88.9 WLRY farm page, we highlight some of these small businesses, some of these unique kind of tucked away things that you may not think about. So thank you for joining us today, Aubrey, bringing your story to light for our 88.9 WLRY listeners. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you, Connie. Anytime.